Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Part two today, we're going to talk about why mentoring. In our first podcast with this topic, we gave some questions and answers in response to why should you mentor. We're going to start the discussion by, if you really want your life to count, it'll be found in the context of relationships. Chris, what does that statement mean to you?
What if I don't want my life to count for something? What if I'm content to have a job, earn money, buy stuff, take vacations, have hobbies, and then die someday?
Then that's your choice.
Well, you know, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
There's so much more. It's not enough.
Yeah.
You think about, if you were to talk with incredibly wealthy people and they have everything they could imagine,
mm-hmm.
it's still not enough.
It's never enough, yeah.
A certain amount of success, it's still not enough. God has created us for relationships, period.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, so what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I want to take some time to find out what that really looks like.
Right.
So yeah. If you want your life to really count for something, it will be found in the context of relationships. That's what we believe.
Right, right. Are there some examples where, I don't know, in the face of tragedy, whether it could be big or small, that you saw this statement really bearing fruit in your own life?
I don't know if I understand what you're asking.
I guess I'm thinking our current circumstance right now, our sweet oldest daughter had an emergency C-section, and first little grandbaby, Zion, he's 3 pounds and 13 ounces. Pediatrician says he's tiny but mighty.
Mighty, yeah.
But she FaceTimed us this morning, and she had received 2 flower bouquets from people, friends of theirs, a thing of cookies, another gift from somebody else. It's those relationships that they have already poured into that are showing up, showering them with love, reminding them, yep, this is not ideal. In fact, this is kind of hard, but we're here. We love you. We support you. And these friends are Christians. They have a deep faith in God, and they're being strengthened by these relationships. And boy, at the end of your life, it all comes out to the value of your relationships.
This is interesting for me to think about. I'm a very independent person, and I'm a visionary, and I can get started on a plan and go for it. But at the end of the day, when I have needs, when I'm hurting, when something unexpected happens,
mm-hmm.
it does something to my soul.
Yeah.
And I've said that before in other episodes, soul, because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the core of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so another person shows up to help me in some way, when I have a need, an unexpected situation, it does something to my soul in a good way.
Yeah.
And so from the recording of this podcast in 2024, a couple of days ago, I went to Lowe's to purchase some ferns on sale.
Yeah.
So it's just a simple trip. I go there and I have 2 ferns in my
You're
basket.
You're by yourself.
Yes, yeah. But because I should be able to go shopping by myself.
You're a big boy. You can handle it.
I had gone over to this one section, and I saw some other ferns hanging up high. And before I reached up to grab one of those, there was a woman to my right, and she looked like she needed help with some flower pots or something. It was too mm-hmm. far to her for her to reach. So I asked her, I said, do you need some help? She goes, I appreciate that, but my husband is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he thanked me for that. I just say that. My focus was on her, and then I turned immediately around, and I reached to grab the fern. And what happened, there was a round platform on wheels with a metal or steel post in the middle of this foundational piece.
Mm-hmm.
When I reached to grab the fern, my foot hit the edge of that, and my body weight, and I weigh a decent amount, it forced the iron pole into uh-huh. my head. And it didn't knock me out, but it hit me so hard, I didn't even know what was happening for mm-hmm. A couple of minutes or so. It brought me to my knees, and there was so much blood. I'm telling you all of this because I needed help.
Yeah.
And a plant, a career, a vacation, a car, these things are nice. They cannot help me, guys, when I need help. Do You follow me?
Right.
There were some strangers. There were some management staff there at Lowe's who came to my aid to help me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I finally got a hold of you, the old lady, and then our daughter Libby showed up. It felt good to see familiar faces.
Yeah.
It was a head injury. We didn't know how bad it was. It ended up being okay. Yeah. It still hurts as of today, but
well,
it's going to be okay.
It looked horrible, yeah.
Yeah, it looked horrible. A lot of
blood. Blood was everywhere, yeah.
And I was wondering what's going on, because this lady said, you need medical attention now. Your color does not look good. I'm thinking, whoa.
What you want a stranger to tell you, yeah.
But, yeah, she was so assertive. She was actually trying to help me.
Right.
And I so appreciated that. My point is this, why mentoring? Relationships matter, and especially in times of need. So you take me to the hospital, we get it checked out, but then you had contacted some good friends of ours.
Yeah.
And they were at the waiting room waiting for us when we arrived.
Right.
Did we need them there? No, because
yes,
they're not well, they're not medical people.
Yeah.
But we needed them there. It
we
felt good to
them.
See their faces.
Well, what's sweet in those instances, you know, when you get a call that kind of shakes you, like, you know, I have a voicemail on my phone from a stranger. I don't know who she is. Hi, I'm calling from Lowe's. Your husband's been in an accident. You need to come get him and take him to the hospital. My first thought is, who can support me? And I was like, okay, I got to call John and Shannon. And then we called some other people. I don't know any details. Just pray. That's the value of their relationships. Relationships are key. Relationships are just vital.
And you can't just have that overnight.
I mean,
and you can't just have that by sitting next to someone at church or in a meeting or on the job. It requires real conversations happening at some point.
It takes some effort.
Where you know some story of each other,
mm-hmm.
some of the story, and you start to care for one another authentically. And then real life happens, and you get to not play it out. You get to experience some of what you've had conversations about. Does that make sense?
Right. And those relationships then become your safety net. Yes, we trusted God through all of that. But man, those relationships were the arms and the feet and the hugs and the let me buy you dinner of God. Yeah.
And so you as the listeners don't think that we have this all figured out?
No.
So relationships, we're saying they are the most important thing on this earth. Beginning with a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And then
well
with people.
Said. Well said.
But then my career is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to enjoy some hobbies. Our home, the physical house itself, we love being home because it's a nice house. You've decorated well. It makes you feel safe and secure, enjoyment here. Those things are all nice.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, each of those things will be gone at some point.
Yeah.
Over time. And relationships just make the difference in the world.
They relationships matter, yeah. So when we talk about why mentoring here on this session two, one of the things we realized that many people are anxious and weary and fearful, and that in itself is a reason for mentor. We see in Matthew 9:35-38, I won't take the time to read it, but Jesus is pointing out that people are weary and anxious. It says that a portion of that scripture there in 36, it says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And so we see that today. There's a lot of people who lack direction, who are weary of life, who are fearful of what's going to happen tomorrow, who are anxious. The time is ripe for good mentoring relationship.
Yeah, so why mentoring? People do become weary,
mm-hmm.
fearful, and anxious sometimes. You and I have experienced this in our marriage, and we have a good marriage, but you have dealt with, and I have as well, some fear, some anxiousness.
Mm-hmm.
We've been weary at times,
mm-hmm.
and we have not, we weren't trying to wear masks, but we would ask each other, how are you doing today? And we'd say, oh, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd say, wait a minute, how are you doing? And when there's something that amazing happens, when I can open up my mouth and just look at you as my wife or a trusted person. And again, we're talking about why mentoring. You have the privilege to initiate a conversation, some questions, and say, I want to know how you're really doing. And when a person can say, I am weary,
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, all right, help me understand that. What's going on? What's happened? What are you thinking? What are you feeling?
You know,
or I'm fearful, where I'm anxious and they get that out, it doesn't make the problem go away right then, but it takes some pressure off of that person to go, another person knows that I need some support.
Yeah. Recently, I had a sweet evening with two very, very close friends. And is it a mentoring relationship? Kind of. I think we all co-mentor one another. We've been friends for a long time. When I think of the role of a mentor, both of them have co-mentored me and I them. But we spent several hours together. We just each brought our own meal from a local restaurant. We sat in the living room and we talked and we talked and we talked. And each one of us got to share about the weariness or the fearful things or the anxious things in our lives right now. Very, very real things. And we didn't have a pity party. We didn't dwell on how, you know, negative things were in each one of our circumstances. But what it did, I walked away from that feeling closer to my two friends, feeling uplifted because these two friends happen to know Jesus. They're going to pray for me. They're going to pray for everybody involved. Did any of my circumstances change that made me fearful or anxious? Nope. But it's not all on my shoulders. Somebody else knows the struggle I'm in, and they're praying for me. And I walked away from that experience very energized, very comforted. And it's interesting. Some people go, oh, you just had a pity party. No, we didn't. We talked about the facts of our situation.
I've been in situations where pity parties, that sounds kind of funny,
yeah.
A pity party
right.
has been the focus.
Right.
But that's not what you're talking about.
No, you know, scripture says, as iron sharpens one man, so should one man sharpen another. That's what happened Friday night. We were all able to come together, share our burdens in love because we care for one another. And, oh, I just felt so encouraged, strengthened. Yeah, it was a great, great experience. Why mentor?
Well, I'll have a question. Listeners, Christina, do you recognize when people are struggling, such as they're dealing with fear, anxiousness, or they're just weary? Do you think you recognize that?
I can confidently say I do. Have others been quick to recognize that in me? I've got some girls that I mentor. They would recognize that in me. But maybe peripheral friends, no, not so much.
It feels good. I'm going to say feels. It feels good when another person knows you well enough. If you have a mentor and they know you well enough, and they should at some point in their relationship, to be able to recognize when you're weary, fearful, anxious, and they have the right, the privilege, and the courage to bring it up.
Yeah.
And you can open up and say, you're right, I am.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many places in the world we have to try to look and sound and be tough, but we're just not on some situations. We're just not. So I don't know if it was this episode earlier we talked about it or the previous one, part one of this. But so our daughter and son-in-law had a little boy yesterday, and this is 2024.
Uh-huh.
So our first grandchild, it was a surprise C-section.
It was an emergency.
Let me back up.
Yeah.
It was an emergency. 4 or 5 weeks early, right?
Right.
Complications with the baby and some complications with our daughter's health. And so did we experience in that anxiousness?
Heavens, yes.
Some fear?
Oh, yeah.
A little weariness?
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine what our daughter was going through and our son-in-law. And so we could have acted like, oh, it'll be just fine. We weren't overly positive. We weren't trying to, how am I trying to say this?
I don't know. What are you trying to say?
We realize there's a situation here.
Right.
But we also know that we can trust God. So we came together as a family around that hospital bed, and we prayed over her. And you did a great job speaking truth over her.
Mm-hmm.
To go, oh, no, everything's great. No, it wasn't great.
Right.
But this is what we know, and we're together. We're going to do this together.
Mm.
And
you know, that's a side note. The only way, after 55 years of life on the planet, that I know to combat weariness, fearfulness, anxiety, is by speaking the truth over my circumstance. Things can hit rock bottom. It's not wishful thinking. It's, no, this is what God says. God says that his plans are to prosper me in the middle of an emergency C-section, right? Or when finances hit an all-time low or whatever, speaking God's truth, because like we said earlier, God's truth is living and active. It realigns my thinking to truth. It brings me peace. That's the nature of who God is and how his word brings us peace. A mentor has the unique ability to speak God's word into the weary and the fearful and the anxious. And the mentor can't make it all better, but God's word can.
I want to maybe close on this part of it with this. Real conversations will reveal the struggles and the challenges people have.
Mm-hmm.
So as you sit down, if you're a mentor, you sit down and you initiate the conversations, you take the time to look and notice that the person you're mentoring is either struggling in some way with weariness, anxiousness, or fear. You open up that conversation and conversations continue, and those things are revealed. You like take that off that person's shoulders. You help them do that. You help look at it and to help understand where you're going to go from here with it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Let's look at another why mentoring question. Why mentoring? Because mentoring can foster discipleship. We do believe that a good mentoring relationship, if you're mentoring somebody who is also a Christian, you can translate that relationship into a discipleship relationship, which is practical, personal, meaningful, and effective. So let's help define, Chris, that word discipleship.
You would ask me that.
Yeah.
There's different...
There's
different definitions. Right? So we're referring to the New Testament where Jesus had 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He spent deliberate time with them. He gave them personal experiences one-on-one. He gave them group experiences. He helped them to see the hand of God in everything.
Mm-hmm.
He helped them to know that there's a big purpose that God has for each of us on this earth for them, and that God was going to work through them if they would just follow him.
Mm-hmm.
He got to know them incredibly personally. There was nothing religious about it.
Right. So in 2024, what does discipleship mean? Let me just read a piece of our curriculum that I think will kind of break this down. But discipleship was never meant to be a class or a program, but about intentional relationships. Mentoring can be a natural way to develop meaningful relationships that give Christians an opportunity and the privilege to disciple others. Mentoring helps people use their faith, skills, abilities, talents, education, and experiences so that discipling others becomes a natural way of life. That's why we say it's practical and personal, meaningful and effective. And as the things of God and Jesus are talked about, studied, learned, and experienced by both the disciple and the discipler, the mentor, the mentee in this case as well, both are impacted and changed. So you won't hear us talking on our mentoring podcast about discipleship, but actually, if you take a look at what mentoring has the power to do between two believers, discipleship is a key component. And in discipleship is where you can pour into one who then pours into another.
Thing that comes to my mind when I choose to disciple another person, God comes out of the pages of a book called the Bible. He's real. He is our Father. He is a provider. He is all authority. He has power. He's caring. He's loving. He sacrifices. That God that can be seems so far removed from so many people becomes personal and real for that person over time.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, for me, I think that every mentee that I pour into, I feel like I'm discipling. But discipling is another level where we always focus on the six areas of a component, but where we're really spending concentrated time on building the person's spirit. Who are they in their spirit? What's their identity? What are things that they're believing that are not right? How can we help them depend on God Talk about the ripple effect and how this really plays out in this component of discipleship.
I will, but for a moment, I want to say this. I'll have people ask me when they say, so what do you do for a living? I say, well, we lead a mentoring nonprofit, and we train and teach people how to be effective mentors. And recently, a guy asked me, what area do you focus on? And we always say, it's holistic. Mm-hmm. We look at the whole person. And so you said something just a few seconds ago that made me think of this. If I mentor you in the area of the career, that's good. It's going to help you there. If I mentor you in the area of your physical health, that's important too. Guys, we want to get to the soul of people at some point.
Because that's what's forever.
That's what's forever. That's what impacts everything. If my soul is struggling, is unhealthy, is unknown to me, every one of those other areas that seem so important in life. Will be not just damaged, but lacking and struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone were to ask you tomorrow, Christina, what do you care about? Why mentoring? We want to help people know their own souls, who they really are. Okay, the ripple effect. Probably everyone knows this illustration. You take a pebble, you throw it in the pond or the lake, and this stone hits the water, which causes it to...
A ripple
of the water, and it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And it goes out to a certain point, and then it looks like it dissolves
because
you can't see it anymore. That's possible with relationships.
Yeah.
And here's an example. Again, we're bragging, I guess. We are. So we have a grandson now. He's 3 pounds, 13 ounces as of this recording.
Yeah.
He's so little. But guess what?
Yeah.
Our daughter is so... such a strong leader today.
Mm-hmm.
She's a confident mom already, and she's going to learn so much through struggles and challenges and everything. And our son-in-law is a strong man.
Mm-hmm. The
but
best
I'll have to speak for our daughter for a minute because she was born to us. We raised her.
Right.
The best. We made some mistakes. Guys, listen to us. We made some mistakes, but we did a lot of good things too. Our daughter is part of who she is today because how we spoke into her life.
Mm.
We spoke identity into that little girl's life early on. One thing we would tell her and our other two daughters as well, we're focusing on our oldest because she just had the baby. And now she's going to pass it on to her son, right?
Right.
But we told her early on, this is biblical. God says you are a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. That's your identity.
At some point, she began to believe that, Christina.
Yeah.
She is passing that on. She'll pass it on to her son. She has worked as a behavioral specialist in the school system as a teacher. I promise you, she speaks those kind of things into students' lives, and it came from someplace.
Right.
It's the ripple effect. What if you chose to do that? I'm going to speak into this person's life because they have value, because God says so, and I'm going to help them understand who they are. I'm going to walk through some of their struggles, their anxiety, their fears with them so they can move out of that junk and believe truth for themselves, and they start impacting another life.
Yeah. It sounds so corny to say, but truly, and let's just not say every person on the planet, but every person on the planet who had a relationship with Jesus went after one person, right, to speak via their identity, to speak to them, to care for their soul. The ripple effect of that would change the whole world one relationship at a time, right? That's just beautiful. Anything else in closing?
Other than this, or maybe this, if you're struggling to understand the ripple effect, take a little bit of time, take a deep breath, turn your phone off and your computer off, whatever, and just process your life. And hopefully at least one person would come to mind.
Yeah.
Someone who's impacted your life in a way that made you partly who you are today.
And
it's helped you in some way.
Yeah. Well, and when we say impact, it doesn't mean like, okay, I remember a teacher who really gave me, you know, whatever, and I'm not impacting anybody's life. Well, in your workplace, are you kind to people? That's making an impact. Do you tip the Sonic girl? That's making, it doesn't
Wait a
have
minute.
To
Do
be.
Do you tip the Sonic girl?
Yeah.
Maybe if you over-tip her is a good thing, impacting someone.
What right, right, mean? Right. Are you kind to people? Are you smiling at people?
And being deliberate.
Are you being deliberate? That's making an impact.
It is.
You don't think it is? Be the recipient of being in a grocery store and there's somebody who says, here, do you want a basket? Here's mine. It's those little things that make impact too. It's not, you know, you're leading a mentoring organization and thousands of people have been changed by mentoring. Everybody can make an impact right where they are. That's a great way to wrap up today. You can make an impact. You are making an impact if you are mentoring. So as always, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Share this with someone. Maybe share this with someone who's made an impact on you. That's your homework. That's your assignment. We appreciate your tuning in, as always, to learn all things about mentoring. If you would like to contribute to making productions like this available as a podcast, just go to our website at FahrenheitMentoring.org and click the podcast tab. Thank you for listening.